Yeah, this short letter isn't really all that short, is it? As Steve found out, just one chapter of it. It's kind of long, but there's a lot to say when you're trying to guide people into a closer walk with Jesus. Especially, remember, these are Christians. These were Jewish people who were converted into Christianity. And so he's speaking to the church. And their tendency of human beings is that we go back words to the past, to where we're more comfortable, right? You know, oh yeah, I need to get back to what I used to do. You know, I feel better there. I'm more comfortable there. Well, that's what these guys are doing. They're going wanting to go, you know, to say, man, I don't know, if I don't want to go to prison like my brother did, or my sister over there, she all of her possessions got taken away because she's a Christian, or these guys can't even buy any bread because they won't sell it to him because he's a follower of Christ. Things like that, you know, they start going, it's not worth it. I think I'm just going to go back. Just like the Israelites would say when they're in the desert and things were getting tough, you know, there's no food or water. They're going, hey, we want to go back to Egypt. Well, same thing. We want to go back to our own Egypt, and that's what they want to do. They want to go back to their old ways, to the old covenant, to the old rituals, and try to do what they want to do, right, to make themselves pleasing before God. So this writer saying, no, the only way you can please God is, as we've been finding out, is by faith, right? To walk by faith, to live by faith. And he gave us examples through all those faith heroes. And if you looked at those faith heroes, they're just ordinary people who have fallen and stumbled and all over the place. It was only by God's grace that we carried them through. And we're continuing on, and, you know, we're looking, you know, last week we're looking at, you know, how a runner runs the race. You know, it's a tough race. We run every day, and then we also have that long journey all the way to the end, to the finish line, you know, and how we are to persevere and keep our eyes upon Jesus. And I don't know about you today. Have you ever went to somebody's house and had a dinner, and then you start smiling, and they go, and there's, you know, cilantro. Yeah, you were connecting here. All right, a little cilantro or something sticking on there, and you're going, and they're going, excuse me, but you got some stuck in your teeth. Mick, I know Bunny's going, let's not go there. Don, we're not talking, and all these other guys. So we're just, you know, all. Yeah, or better yet, you go to Morden, Manitoba during Corn and Apple Festival, and they got what they call peaches and cream, the two-tone, you know, sweet corn, and you just start going like that. I like to go to the typewriter. It's just so wonderful to see those rows, nice straight. You know, other people just go, I'm going, that's disgusting. You know, and if you did it right, you should have stuff hanging on your cheeks. And you're walking around, oh, yeah, this is looking good. You know, you walk around the little town because they have a little celebration and a little fair going on there. You walk around, and people are kind of going, you know, nobody's, you know, brave enough. But one person, you know, of course, is probably an enemy or maybe hopefully your best friend. You got something. You got something right there, right on your cheek. You know, so, you know, as a Christian, it's interesting, isn't it? Actually, we want to be caught like that. We want people going, what you got going on there? You know, maybe you need a little Kleenex. Or so, you know, or you got something stuck in your hair. What is that? You know, I don't know. You know, whatever. But as Christians, we want people to go, oh, man. You got something going on. Excuse me. Would you tell me more? What's going on with you? Where is that peace coming from that you have in your life, even during the trials that you're going through or the joys that you have and all situations? You know, that's what we're looking at today. And as we look in Philippians, you know, it says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Well, where does that gentleness come from? We didn't do anything about it, you know. you know, we're going to be looking at that today in this passage. Where does that speck of cilantro go? Where does that come from on her teeth where it draws people's attention? Where does that come from? Where does that corn on a cob all over your cheeks come from that draws people's attention to you? Where does that gentleness come from that causes people to go, oh, you're not the same anymore? What happened to you? Let's pray before we go on. Father God, yes, we just ask that you'll bless this word, that your name be honored and glorified in it, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for it, for your truth, for the hope that we have in you, and for the Holy Spirit's guidance and teaching in all of this, Lord. Open our hearts that we can just grow in the grace and knowledge of who you are, and the confidence that we can walk in this walk with you, Father, trusting in you, walking by faith. So show us the way, Lord, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So as you're looking at this passage, and I was going, well, boy, this is a kind of a long passage, but I'll tackle it, using this as our last time that we'll be in Hebrews for a while anyways. But, and I was going through this, you know, the benediction is actually kind of a wrap-up. You know, we'll go back to that a little bit, but there's some things that are like, in verse 21, it says, equip you, you know, the Lord is going to, the great shepherd, you know, we have a great shepherd, you know, that's Jesus. You know, the great teacher, the one who cares for us and laid down his life for us. And he's equipping us. He's making us, perfecting us with every good thing, you know, for doing his will. So, and then I start going, okay, well, what is that? Well, then you go back to the beginning. Well, loving one another. Brotherly love, brotherly and sisterly love. It's pretty important. Actually, you know, it's so critical. That love is what brings people together. In fact, when I look about that, I can't, you know, with the scripture here, and when you look at Colossians, it says, here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. See, I don't know if you've noticed, but there's only a few events that bring people of all different ethnicities and colors and languages together. One of them is sports. Did you know that? You look at those audiences in football stadiums or baseball stadiums, basketball, you know, you see people of all colors, all languages there, you know, people from all over. You go to soccer games, really even more, a lot of more ethnicities going on there. And so they're brought together for a common thing to watch that game. There's only one other place I can really think of. That's church. You know, if you go like to the city churches, if they are really healthy city churches, they should have all those people, whatever ethnicities and colors and all that stuff, should be in that church. That's a healthy church. Now, for us, we don't have a lot of different ethnicities or color of skin or languages, but we do come from a lot of different experiences and family lines and even areas, right, in our lives. So he brings us together. Christ is the only one. He's the one that breaks the barrier between all of us, men and women, slave and free, the barbarians, which must be the stealers, and things like that, and, you know, that type of thing. So he brings us all together. They're all unified in Christ. His love unifies us. We come together every day for Christ. We are unified in his name. That's why we come together. Otherwise, I don't think we'd even say hi to one or hardly if it wasn't for Christ bringing us together. So this love that, you know, he's shown us and we are to show one another, you know, we start to put aside our selfishness or our selfish ambitions and our pride and all those other things that get in the way of our relationships with one another, and we are set free and we can actually love one another. Because we can set that stuff aside because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, In Colossians, it tells us, you know, that we are chosen by God and that we are holy and dearly loved. He makes us holy. He loves us. And he says, put on those clothes, the clothes of Christ, you know, which is, you know, gentleness and compassion and humility and patience and kindness. That's what he tells us to do. He commands us to do. But we're putting it on. It's not something that we have within us, but it's actually from Christ to us. So there's unifying factors. Hospitality comes right along with that. Now, back then, because you know, there's a lot of persecution and things like that, you know, people were coming, maybe a preacher was going to come over to the church over here in this area, and, you know, there was no inn. He didn't have enough money for the inn. He maybe tried to go to other people's houses, but they're saying, shh, we don't want you here. We already see what's on your cheek. You got something stuck in your tooth. You know, we know who you are. We don't want you here. We can't have you here because then we're going to get ostracized from the synagogue or whatever. So then they're going, where do I stay? Well, then, you know, there's where the church offered hospitality to people who they didn't really even know, but they were brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't know if you ever had that experience, but Joy and I have had those experiences where we go, like in Thailand, we would travel. People didn't know us, but we would go to a village, Bapa, right? Was it Pa? What was her? The one in Ajahn Akaran's village. I forget. Bathao. Yes, Bathao. She didn't know us, but she is a sister of Christ. She opens up our door, her door to us, and we were able to go up these stairs and because they built their houses above the ground because they lived below it because of the heat and stuff like that, and they did their cooking and all that stuff. And so we had a safe place to stay. We weren't anybody to her, but we were her brothers and sisters in Christ. So she opened her door to us. Now today, it's a little bit different. I know it's a little bit different. And people don't invite people in their homes as much these days. And in the days when I was growing up, it happened a lot more often, stuff like that. So it's changing, but it doesn't mean that we can't show kindness and even sharing. A lot of people say, let's go to coffee. Well, let's go to coffee. All right. If that's what if that's what the hospitality is, then let's do it. Or go out and meet somebody at a local restaurant and have some food. I know I used to do that, you know, after lunch. I guess you guys are still doing that maybe somewhere else. You know, it's a good time of fellowship to get together and stuff. And to be able to include others, stuff like that, too, is very important. And you never know. It says here, you might be even hosting angels. Certainly receiving a blessing in that, too. So that's that love going. And the love continues on, you know, remembering people who are going under, being oppressed or imprisoned. We aren't to forget those people. And I know there's been a lot of churches that have really wonderful prison ministries going on. You know, they're remembering their brothers and sisters in Christ who are incarcerated for one reason or another. And others, you know, like David Eubanks' story. I mean, he wasn't even a Christian when he went in there, but he came out of the prison as a Christian. Now he's in Iraq serving the Lord. You know, so there's a blessing in that. So for us, I mean, we don't have a nearby prison, though we do have prisons kind of around us, and so, you know, too, but we can always think if somebody wanted to start a prison ministry up, I mean, we can certainly pray about that, and it'd be a wonderful opportunity for us to continue to be a blessing in what ways we can be. There's a lot of different ways to serve as well. So all this, you know, this is that love, okay? This is that love that changes us and makes it evident to other people that we are followers of Christ because we're not doing what the world is doing. They're after the good for themselves. They're not looking after the interest of others above them, but what other people can do to serve them so they can go higher and get more, whatever they're looking for. That's the world, but as Christians, as we show love one another, it looks very different. Just like that corn on a cob stuck on your cheek. And how we care for the people around us, even if they're pretty much unlivable people. So am I sometimes, especially when some of my teams lose, don't get around me. But that doesn't happen very often, so I'm a very lovely guy. So all these things here. And then it comes down to marriage. You know, the primary place or one of the major or first places that Christian love should be shown in is right there in our home. Do you agree with that? And marriage is one of the important things here. Did I shut this off? I probably did. I have a tendency to do that. But marriage is very critical because really it is a covenant established by God Himself as a blessing for us, but it also reflects His glory, who He is in our lives. So when we get married, it's not something just, oh yeah, we'll get married and then we'll get divorced, whatever, you know, like what we, you know, if you look at the statistics for the church and for secular society, it's very much similar in marriage and divorce. And they kind of wonder what's going on there. And I don't think we understand what a privilege, and not only a privilege and a blessing it is, but what marriage is really about. It's a partnership in serving the Lord and supporting and encouraging one another in this walk. And, you know, on TV and all the movies and all this stuff, all this other stuff is thrown out at us, right? You know, this is normal. You get married 5-6 times. You have all these outside marriage relationships, all this stuff. You know, oh, yeah, this is just the way it's done. I'm sitting there going, no. Because I look at a lot of families and I go, no, you don't want to be in those situations. Now, some people make it work by God's grace, but there's a lot of hurting people out there because the marriage, the family has been broken. And so, you know, for the marriage, you know, when it's going, you know, it's healthy and strong, it's honoring God and how we serve Him and serve one another, but also the children are involved as well. The blessings from that marriage comes down to the children, and they are blessed in that as well. And so they can carry that on. And that's honoring the God Himself. You know, keep your lives free from the love of money. Keep the marriage bed pure, for God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. So there is things that we have, you know, very careful there because He will judge us on that. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, that's it, you're kicked out of the family. No, God doesn't do that because we know we can come back to Him and ask for forgiveness with a sincere heart and He will forgive us. But there is consequences if you look at the life of King David, who was an adulterer. And God forgave him. But boy, the consequences came. Where did the consequences come from? Do you remember? His baby died, and then after that, two of his sons tried to kill him, right? Or at least one, Absalom, right? Kill King David, I want the kingdom. Came from his children. So, you know, when loving one another in a marriage, how are we going to keep it healthy? Well, by being with the Lord and praying and encouraging one another and serving one another. And a lot of times, you know, it's that, you know, we have to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow the Lord. There's times when we need to do that in our own marriages so we can keep them strong so our children go forth. And, you know, in Malachi, I read Malachi, you know, so be on your guard and do not be unfaithful. You know, it is a serious warning that he is given for the nation of Israel. And for the, back then, you know, they would, just like now, they divorce for anything and everything. And even then, it was like doing violence to the woman because they couldn't get jobs that well. They were really relying on the men to take care of them and protecting them. So when a guy divorced his wife, it's like doing violence to her, leaving her out. It was a serious thing. So they just did it flippantly, you know. oh, I'm done with you. Oh, there's another one over there. But we do that today, too. I know, maybe a younger one, or one, you know, rooting for the right team, things like that, too. So you got all this Malachi. So then, with all that, the love and how God is working in us, then it's, you know, the trust building. And remember your leaders, you know, your church leaders are talking about that. Imitating the faith and the teachings from our elders, from our leaders of church. And it even comes down to 17. It says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority. Because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. So there's an accounting that your spiritual leaders have to give. And do this so their work will be a joy and not a burden. So when there's a good following, you know, if you ever led something and people got behind you and helped you out and been, you know, the teamwork and all that stuff went well, it's great. But if you're leading something and people are just going, oh, and they're going, no, I don't want to do that, and people going, I'm not going to come and all that stuff, well, oh boy, it becomes a heavy burden. So that type of trust being built. Also, not trusting, as it's saying here, you know, don't trust in money. You know, remember, we're not a sum of all of our possessions. Those aren't really as much as important as our walk with Christ. And it says, because this, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. See, he's there for us all the time. We don't need anything. He provides all we need. He's there the same today, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You know, he doesn't change. His love doesn't change. His provision doesn't change. The way he's working in and through our lives doesn't change. It's all the same. He says, trust in me. Trust in the leaders I give you, over you. And it says, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? So fear gets reduced, fades out of our lives more and more as we trust in him and build that relationship in Christ as our helper as well. So we just don't need these things. And, you know, another thing that comes in, we're talking a little bit about this, you know, we're pleasing the Lord and that we're seeking to honor him, but we have a tendency to get carried away. And we're talking this morning about the adding and subtracting of teaching of the word. So people sometimes, they'll take the word of God and they'll add something to it. Or maybe they'll take away something from it, just to kind of fit their, you know, where it feels good for them. And so we're going, ooh, well, that feels good to me too. Problem is, it's not the word of God. And so we start like a wave. We're going up and down all around, you know. So we have the word, and he speaks it. And you know, Christ has done all this here. You know, he's died. He, you know, the sacrifice, he made the sacrifice. The altar is now Christ's life, where we can come and make sacrifices. But we don't have to make sacrifices of animals. But now he's asking us to make sacrifices of the fruit of lips, which is open profession of his name, praising him. You know, when we give thanks and praise, that is the offering of the fruit of lips. And that is what's pleasing to God, praising him, allowing him to bring honor and glory. I mean, receive all the honor and glory from us and doing good to others and sharing, that's all part of that, where that evidence of his work in us comes forward and people start seeing something in us that's different, changing. A lot of times when I look at my own life, a lot of times I go, I don't know, even when I started losing that feeling or that urge to think that way or say those things. You know, they just kind of fade off and they become less and less. I'm not doing anything. You know, that's Christ's work, the Holy Spirit working, sanctifying me. It doesn't mean sometimes it won't come out once in a while or whatever, or go back to the old ways, but, you know, I just notice those things. And all this is just pleasing to him. We always think about what's pleasing to God? Well, praising him. loving others, sharing. That is what is pleasing to the Lord. And that's what causes us to stick out. And that's where that grace comes in, right? That grace that strengthens our hearts that we so need. Because without that grace that strengthens our heart, we will be like those waves and we won't have any solid foundation to stand on in our lives. Then he comes up with this wrap up. You know, what, you know, the wrap, you know, he's going this benediction, really, what they call it here. It says, now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. So he's going to equip us. He's going to perfect us. He's going to work in us. Huh? He worked for us, right? By redeeming us on the cross. He went before us. And he died for us to set us free from our sins, to give us new life. He rose again on the third day to show that, yes, this is true. I am the Son of God. And there's everlasting life waiting for you. I'm preparing those rooms for you. And I'm working in you. And you might not even discern it, but I'm working in you. And they're changing you to where these teeth are starting to get speckles on them. Or things are appearing, you know, here where people see there's something evident. There's something different about you. What is going on with you? So he works. He worked for us. He's working in us. So he can work through us. And that's where people see the evidence. That's where people start noticing, hey, can you tell me more? What's going on in your life? That's different. I need to know that. And so you go to Philippians 4:9 there, and it's a power, you know, for some reason I was just drawn to this. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. You know, why am I rejoicing? Because God is doing these amazing things. He's already done something amazing. You know, I'm the richest person in the world because he has redeemed me by his amazing grace. I am no longer condemned. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. We don't have to worry about that judgment day. We have the robe of Christ around us, and we, in his God's sight, we are made right. So there's a lot of rejoicing, even in the tough times. It says, let your gentleness be evident to all. Why? The Lord is near. He's right here. He's working in me. He's changing me. Oh, there's something coming. Christ is coming back. Oh, I don't know about you, but when something's in just in the future, and I know like a vacation or some special event, you get all excited. Right? It kind of changes your attitude. You know, instead of being a mumbler and grumbler, you're going, yeah, you see the lighter things of life. But if you don't have those things in front of you, you just kind of go, oh, yeah, this, and, oh, yeah, that. I don't want to get up today and all that stuff, right? And, you know, but when you have something to look forward to, it moves you forward, doesn't it? Doesn't it? It does. And that's part of this. You know, that Lord is near. The Lord is near. He's coming at any time. Did you know that? He can come back as our King of Kings and Lord of Lords even now. There's an immediacy about that. It says, do not be anxious about anything. Are you anxious about anything? Well, what do you do with it? But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So we can go somewhere with it, can't we? We don't have to deal with it ourselves. You know, the battle belongs to the Lord. Give it to him. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's where that gentleness, that peace comes from. We're talking about peace. You know, there's praying. There's gentleness. Then you know what? A lot of people stop there, but no, don't. Because finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and a God of peace will be with you. Wow. That's powerful, isn't it? So we want people to see our faith plain and simple. We should be able to just walk by them. They should be going, ooh, it's different. Ah, that guy. You don't probably know what's going on. You probably still have a bad hair day going on. I don't know. You might have forgot to brush off that melt from your mustache or whatever in the morning. Or off your beard or whatever. You don't know what's going on, but God does. He's using us, right? He's using us. And he's working in us. He already worked for us. He desires to work through us, where people are seeing this evidence of his work in us, and now we can share it with them. It's not about me. It's not about me. I have nothing to do with this. I didn't put that cilantro on my tooth. Jesus did, to attract your attention to something much greater than this world can ever offer. Do you want to know about him? Let's point to Jesus. That's really what it's all about. Our lives are to point to Jesus. If it's pointing anywhere else, we're running the wrong race, or we're going the wrong direction, or we're running out of our lane, right? So as in Hebrews, it says, be confident. Be confident in what Christ has done for us, that everything he has done for us is sufficient and complete. We don't have to start going, no, there's no buts with Christ. There's a yes with Christ, an amen with Christ. So receive it and then go forth and live by faith and allow him to work in you and through you to bring honor and glory to his name. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for this word. Thank you for Hebrews. This is a wonderful letter. Even though we don't really know what person wrote it, but we know the true person, and that is the Holy Spirit that wrote it through somebody. And we thank you for that letter, for all the encouragement, all the warnings, and Lord, just understanding more about your grace and just what you have for us and what you're doing with us and in us and through us and what it's all about. And Lord, we're so thankful. And help us to be confident. Increase our faith so we can walk by faith and that we can be used by you, Father, to point people to Christ so many more can know you as their Lord and Savior. So we praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. And all those people say, amen. Amen.